Praise the Lord. You should be in Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 9 together on the count of three. Galatians 6, 9 on the count of three. One, two, three. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. So we've really been looking at Galatians 6 verses 1 through 10, but focusing on 7 through 10, and we know verse 7 says, do not be deceived. Don't roam away from the truth. Don't go astray. God is not mocked. He will not be ridiculed. We talked about the fact that we can deceive other people and we can deceive ourselves, but we can't fool God. For whatever a man sows, what a person scatters as in seeds, that will he also reap. That he will also reap. I got to get it right. So we're going to reap what we sow. We talked about how we sow in different ways. We sow certain things. So it's what is scattered, and then it's how it's scattered, and how much is scattered. All of that is a part of the sowing. So don't fool yourself. If you only put a little bit out, you're only going to get a little bit back. Because it's how much is sown and what you sow. You can't sow money and reap peace. You can't sow money and reap love. Can't sow money and get friends. So don't deceive yourself. It's what is scattered. How it is scattered. Are you sowing into good ground? And you want to make sure that you remain good ground, but also that you recognize and are led by the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of us lose our seeds because we are not planting them in good ground. We just giving stuff. And so we wonder, what happened to our money? Well, nobody told you to give to that child. You just got in your mind that that child needed something. They've been hustling you. So they got what they needed. They said the right things to touch your heart. You got to be led by the Spirit of God at all times. If you're talking about sowing and reaping, now you can just give people stuff. We do gift exchange all the time. For some of us, we go into debt at Christmas just around gift exchange, but not around sowing and reaping. When we name these organizations that we give into, we pray about these things. When we give out money from the ministry and how we give, when we do our outreach, those are things that come with prayer, fasting and prayer, preparation. We want to sow good seeds. We want what we put in the ground and as much as we can put in the ground to produce good harvest. The word says what you sow, you will reap. Reaping means to harvest. So we know we want to harvest these things. And then last week we looked at verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And we talked about the fact that sometimes we think we're sowing to our spirit, but if we look at the balance of the things, I dare you to get a piece of paper. It'll shock you. And write down how many times a day you sow to your flesh. Every time you open your mouth, you are sowing to your flesh. So when you get up and drink that water in the morning, that's sowing to your flesh. Do you always match your sowing to the flesh with what you sow in the spirit? Not saying you shouldn't take care of yourself, but as you are taking care of your physical body, are you going to take care of your spiritual relationship with Christ at the same measure? Can we even just get a better measure? Because we already broke them hours down per day. We already know we ain't doing. We sleep 8. That's sowing to the flesh. We just sleeping. If we're doing good by ourselves, we're sleeping. So that's a third of the day. So what you doing with the other two-thirds? Do you actually give a third to Christ? No. We're not living that kind of life. So we have to be mindful to not so the other things that reap corruption to our flesh, but we want to sow to our spirit so that we can reap everlasting life. And this is why Paul writes, and let us not grow weary while doing good. Weary is what you think it is, to be weak and faint. And doing good is just what it sounds like, doing the things of God that we're supposed to do. So we're not supposed to get weak and faint as we carry out the work and the will of God. Now, one of the reasons we get weak and faint is because we're trying to do it in our own strength and not depend on, lean on, and rely and trust in the Lord. We don't do that. We trying to do it out of our own strength. This is an activity that can't be done out of your own strength. You have got to trust in the Lord. You've got to rely on and lean on the Lord as you are doing these things, or you will get tired. When you're doing the work of Christ the way that he instructs you to do it, you don't get tired. I've been waiting to get tired for the last 5 years. I ain't tired yet. Something happens where renewal happens. Last night, first of all, for all of us who watch football, the South Carolina State, which you know our founder and pastor was an alum of and we're fans of, was playing our Gamecocks in the great city of Columbia. So, we have some Gamecock fans. I wasn't one last night, but you know. So, we all think the game gonna come on at 7 o'clock. We've already made our choices. Game is delayed till 9:32. So all of us, I see your tired faces in here because we was up past midnight just trying to see what the end was going to be. And because it wasn't a slaughter, you had to watch the whole first half, which should have been the end of the game. So I am watching the game last night, but I'm taking it down. You know, I'm preparing myself. I'm like, and so I'm falling asleep. And at about 12:30 in the morning, the power goes off in my room. And when I tell you my bedroom, we have a little side office. The power was on in the office. I have a bathroom in my master suite. The power is on in the bathroom. But in my actual bedroom, where I sleep, the fan, y'all know how it is about sleeping with the fan. I sleep with the fan every single night. And the fan goes off. And I have sleep apnea. I believe God I'm being healed from it. But I sleep on the CPAP machine. My CPAP machine goes off. And I'm like, what is going on? So I get up and I spend about an hour trying to figure out why the power is out in my room and nowhere else in my house. I'm looking outside and seeing lights. And Diana's like, are you okay? You walking around down there. I'm like, I am not getting a midnight snack. There is no power in my room. What has happened? So I'm flipping switches and flipping things in the electricity box, and I'm like, Jesus, it is Saturday. I've been living a good life. You know I need sleep. I got to minister the word in the morning. What is going on? So at 2:45 in the morning, the lights come back on, and I foolishly left the light switch up. So then I was reawakened at 3:00 in the morning by the lights that came on. And I thank God that the power came back on, but what is that? But those who wait on the Lord, wrap yourself in the Lord, will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So no, I don't look like what I went through last night. When you are on assignment to do the things of God, you don't get weary. I don't know why I'm not tired. I feel just as rejuvenated because I presented my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It's the least I can do. So I just got to get up and preach the word of God. Amen. Because that's what it means when it says, do not grow weary while doing good. In the Amplified, it says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap. If we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. And the devil wants us to loosen and relax our courage and faint and give up right before God is supposed to bless us. Now, I was doing my due diligence to do my research, and I was like, okay, so what does due season mean? And due means yourself, your person. So if you substitute the words, don't grow weary while doing good, because in your season, it's based on yourself and your performance and what you do in due season, not at an appointed time that God chooses, but your season that's based on your faith, not just some predetermined time. We think we waiting on God. He waiting on us to walk by faith and not by sight. In due season, yourself, your person, your season, you will reap. We shall reap if we do not lose heart. If that conditional word, which means you cannot lose heart in the process to reap. And a lot of us lose heart in the process when we're reaping. And when you think about this whole thing of sowing and reaping, everything has a sow and reap season. If you put seed in the ground, it's going to take time to grow. Even if the seasons come and go for it to produce fruit. If you plant a fruit tree today in a season where you might see leaves and you might see flowers, it could take years for the fruit plant to produce the fruit. It's in season. And sometimes we plant these seeds and we want to see the fruits immediately. And that's not even common sense. It's in our season. So we're planting the seeds into ourselves. And then we expect us to reap these great harvests. We put $1 in the offering. And we expect the mansion the next week. That is not seed time and harvest. You show love to one person one time, and you expect to reap this overflowing of love because your birthday is at the end of the week. You ain't sold nothing to nobody ever. It's seed time and harvest. And the thing is, we have to continue to sow seeds. So even as we're doing it, so that we do not lose heart, we have to continue to sow seeds or we're not going to continuously reap. If you think about it, financially, we can see it and understand it. If you on board with the tithing thing, say amen. Because if you know, you know. But if you really realize that this thing don't truly get good until you start to get this continual sowing going. So the first that year that you do your tithes and offerings is good. And God often rewards you. He extends grace and mercy to you to encourage you in the practice. Then you get to that season where you have some tough decisions to make. This bill is due. My tithes are due. What am I going to do? And then you make choices. Some of us messed up. Some of us didn't. But then you get it, because if you mess up, you'll learn. And then you continue to tithe and give offerings, and you don't know what season you sowed in that you're reaping in right now. So you may have sown your long-term seeds for that level of financial prosperity that you desire, that level where you give to glorify God, that you give to impact the kingdom and the work of God in the earth. Because it ain't about you to get your big house. That might be a side benefit of what happens for you. If you are a millionaire, you can do more things. And you can afford more house, but you can do more things for the kingdom of God. And so you don't know what you're reaping from, so you just keep sowing. And in due season, you won't give up if you don't lose heart. You just keep going. And that's what this scripture is really about. Now, I'm doing my research and everything. Three scriptures that God brought to mind. First of all, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't grow weary, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I mean, that's our founding scripture. We know that our work isn't in vain in the Lord. Then the Lord brought to mind to me Psalms 1. Blessed is the man, all of that. But verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. So you got to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You want to get to the point that whatever your hand touches prospers? You got to plant yourself in the Lord. Planted by the rivers of water. You got to let the Holy Spirit flow through you. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit when he directs and leads and guides. Then you will start to see that you are bringing forth your fruit in your season, in due season, in your season. In its season is what Psalms 1:3 says, but it meaning the tree. So in the tree season. So you're going to produce fruit by your season. So if you want your seasons to be better, then you better start waiting on the Lord, wrapping yourself up in the Lord, yes, and renewing your strength. Yes. Whose leaf also shall not wither, which means as you are waiting, if you've ever waited for a fruit tree to produce fruit, you'll understand that the tree looks healthy and strong. Sometimes fruit trees don't produce fruits, and they still look healthy and strong. You got to look healthy and strong. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is why you can't grow weary while you're doing good, because you know that soon God is going to honor his word if you don't give up on him. If you don't give up on him, if you give up on him, he can't honor his word. If you don't give up on him, he's going to honor his word, because it's his blessing. It's about your relationship with him. It's who you tied to. You ever been tied to somebody? I like to joke a lot and say my daddy was my sugar daddy. But for real, my whole life. If he had it, I had it. I ain't never have to worry. If it was a need, mama and daddy would take care of it for me, for all their kids. It wasn't just for me, but it was for me. If you have relationship with the Lord and you believe in God, he got you. He has 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. There is no reason why you should give up and lose heart in him. That is a trick of the enemy. The main trick of the enemy is to get you off your path from what you be doing. You can't do that. You got to stay planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. And whatever he does, whatever you do, that's planted and rooted in the Lord, that's planted and rooted and led by the Holy Spirit, is going to prosper. Amen. It is the reason why we can have a skeletal amount of members and do a tremendous work that most churches can't do here at Steadfast Christian Center, because we are trees planted by the rivers of water. Our leaf is not withering. Our leaf is not determined by how many members we have, how big the house is packed, what kind of music we got going on. We have survived all that. We've been here 41, going on 42 years. Our leaf is not withering. Most churches would have been taken out by now. We just keep growing and maturing and prospering and doing because we told the Lord we're going to do the work. We're going to be steadfast. There is power for the last 42 years times 52 weeks of saying be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You've been speaking it to yourself. When are you going to believe that God will do what he says he will do? Our pastor gave us a vision that every seat is filled in every service. And we look around today and we don't see it, but we're going to be like trees that are planted and our leaf is not going to wither. And whatever we do, if it's Thanksgiving giveaway, it's going to prosper. If it's a monthly giveaway, it's going to prosper. If we go march on something, it's going to prosper. If we take back this community, it's going to prosper. Whatever we're charged to do, we're going to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we're going to empower them to be steadfast in the word of God. That's what we do. That's our mission. So that they fulfill their God-given purpose and become resourceful laborers who represent Jesus Christ in the earth, which means our job is to raise people up to go out in the earth for Christ. That's what we do. And so we're going to continue to teach the word of God and preach the word of God. We're going to continue to encourage ourselves in the Lord because we know our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We know that whatever we do, as long as we are rooted and grounded in God, is going to prosper. Amen. Now I need you to turn to Habakkuk 2. So go back 5 books from Matthew. We're going to walk it back because that's the quickest way to get you there. I have done my homework and research. I don't want to go through the whole 34 to 39. Just back it up 5 books. Malachi, Haggai, Zephaniah, a couple of others. I can't say them backwards. I got to work on that. I can say them going forward. But Haggai, if you have my Bible, it's on page 961. I'm just saying. Thank you. That's an old school nod to Dad, right? If you got my Bible, we on page 961. When you get to Habakkuk chapter 2, say, I have it.
I have it.
Okay, we're going to be looking at verses 2, 3, and 4. But we're going to read verses 2 and 3 together first. Amen? Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Let's begin. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Give God a praise offering. So we got the prophet speaking to the people of God, but thank God for his prophets that are speaking to us today. So the Lord answered him and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets. And the Amplified, it says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly on tablets that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. So we're supposed to write the vision in a way that everybody who's related to the vision can run with it, that they understand it and can run with it. There's a reason why Pastor had us repeating the mission statement every Sunday. It's taken us 20 years, but we're running with it now because we've been feeding it into our spirits. We've been making it plain. We're bringing people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to minister to the prisons. That's not a part of our ministry's assignments as defined. Now, yeah, we could be redefined, but there has to be another launching of the vision. And guess what? That ain't my job. I'm supposed to run with the one because it hasn't reached fulfillment. It says it'll surely come. It will not tarry. It ain't here yet. So I'm going to run with the one, the first one. And then once we get there, we can run with another one. But I know personally that ain't my job. I'm running with this one. And the Lord, my whole life, y'all, 8 years old here. There's a reason I'm running with it. I've been learning it and flipping it back and forth my whole life. There's a reason. It's for purpose that I'm here. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Now, we have a vision for the body of Christ here at Steadfast Christian Center, but you should have a vision in your household. And my question to you is, have you written that vision down? And is it plain? And is it posted so that everybody in your household can run from the same page? It is why marriage is ordained by God, that the man is the head of the household, da-da-da-da-da. Because it's supposed to come in a particular order and sequence. But we have the permissive will of God. We ain't all married up in here. We don't all have husbands and wives who are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and worshiping with us. So for whatever the vision is that God has given you for your life right now, you better be writing it down. Two things for sure. You need to write the vision, and faith comes by hearing. Got to hear that word of God. You can't just read it. You got to hear it. You got to open your mouth and say it out your mouth. Two things. You need to write this down, and you need to hear the word of God. You need to make it plain for you, which means you may need to have some conversations with the Lord. What is this thing? What's my vision, Lord? If you don't know, you can ask him. If you ask for wisdom, he gives liberally and he don't hold back. That's what James 1:5 says. So you better figure out what this vision is and write it down so that everybody in your household can read it as they run by. You know, we're in preparations for 2026 and we're getting ready to, as a church, write some things, some goals that we need to do for our church. You need to do that too. And it don't have to come at the top of the year. It can come next week. But you need to write some goals for yourself so that you can see them come to pass. And it says in verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end, to fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it. Because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. You have not missed your window because you're a certain age. You have not missed your window because you can't have kids. You have not missed your window because you ain't married. You have not missed your window because you've retired. You have not missed your window. Because the vision was for an appointed time. And if the vision hasn't come to fulfillment yet, then your appointed time is not now. Amen. So stop saying it's too late. Did you catch that inhale or exhale this morning? If you caught breath this morning, it's not too late for God to do what he has called for you to do. Stop lying to yourself. Don't let the devil lie to you. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. We self-sabotage. Well, Lord, I'm turning 50 this year. I ain't got no husband. I ain't got no kids. You told me I was going to have a husband and kids. I was going to have a family. But it ain't here, so I have gotten weary while doing good, and I have lost heart. And then I don't reap what I have sown. I don't benefit from the vision that he gave for me because I gave up on it. Ungive up. You can walk that back. You can ask God to forgive you for thinking the wrong things and ask him to reestablish in you what it is that he has called you to do. And then run until you can't run. You know when you give up, the day is done or the day you don't wake up. That's it. You don't wake up, you ain't got to run no more. And guess what? You're not going to care. Because you're going to be in the presence of the living God. And all these worries and cares and stuff are going to disappear. So if that happens, we'll be sad for you. But you ain't going to be sad. You're going to be in perfect health. All your needs are going to be met. You get to worship God all day long. Your focus gets to wholly and completely be on him. Don't worry about it. If that's what happens, that's not a loss. For me, to die is gain. That's your gain. We be struggling down here without you. You ain't struggling. My mama and daddy ain't struggling none. They're enjoying the good life in the fruit that they have sown on this side. They reaping on that side. They reaped on this side, but they reaping on that side. I ain't got to worry. If the answer is not, my eyes didn't open and I didn't catch that inhale, God has another day to show up for you. It's amazing that we will go buy lottery tickets knowing the odds are miserable. And we done paid $4, because now they $4. Boy, when you first started doing the lottery, it was $1. And you power up for $2. Then you powered up for $3. Now it's $4 for the Powerball and $5 for the Mega Millions. What is that? And when did the Mega Millions become the thing that cost $5? A $5 ticket? I was like, give me everything. They're like, $5. What? I can't be dropping $5 a piece. There's too much sewing into that. No. We'll do it, though, on the hopes that maybe 3 or 4 numbers are clear with the Powerball. We get something out the deal. That's just chance. And you have connection to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who made you and created you to be the person you are, to fulfill your purpose in the earth. And you don't take advantage of it. You don't believe in that, but you believe maybe your Powerball will hit. I'm convicting y'all. I'm convicting me too. I bought my tickets. My sister made me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm grown and I can do what I want to do. But we don't need that. We just need to trust, rely on God. That at the appointed time, it'll surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. Look at verse 4. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Give God a praise offering for the word. In the Amplified, it says, look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him. If you find yourself in pride, then your spirit can't be aligned to the Spirit of God, because pride comes before the fall. So you can't be too proud and try to figure everything out and decide that you were the visionary. You weren't the visionary. You're just supposed to write down what God told you. Amen. He's the visionary. So what you getting proud for? I'm gonna be a doctor. Yeah, you might be a doctor, but the Lord put it in you to be a doctor. He gave you the ability to do the math and science required to be a doctor. He gave you the temperament to be successful. So don't get proud. His soul is not straight or right within him, but the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. And you know, we say the just shall live by faith. That's what the scripture says in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, I like the just shall live by his faith. Yeah. You live by your faith. Your due season is yours. You live by your faith. So your faith is your due season. You live by your faith and in your faithfulness. And I learned this amplified version, so I said to myself every day for decades, I'm going to live by my faith and in my faithfulness. So it's no surprise to me that I am faithful and living by my faith. You got to speak God's word over yourself. I am rigidly just and uncompromisingly righteous. And I'm just figuring out as I'm preaching right now why I never want to do the wrong thing. Because I've been telling myself for decades that I'm rigidly just and uncompromisingly righteous. So how do you get into sin if you're rigidly just and uncompromisingly righteous? So I can live by my faith and in my faithfulness. This is why I have issues. When opportunities to sin come up, it's a real struggle for me. Not because I'm not human and I don't live in this flesh, but I've been telling this flesh that it don't control me. In little bits. And we have to believe that the word of God is living and powerful and sharp. And it gets between our soul and our spirit. So our soulish man wants to do the wrong thing, and our spirit man compels us to do the right thing, which is why you have to speak this word over yourself on a consistent daily basis. Even the little bit that I have managed to put together has made a difference. It keeps me out of some stuff. Thank God it has kept me out of some stuff so that I can present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Not because I'm perfect, but because I know who I'm connected to, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Even me that's in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. So it's not about you, but how you present yourself to God. It's not about you being strong. That isn't what keeps you from growing weary. You just got to keep doing it. If you've ever been in an intense workout and you had a goal, I'm going to do this for 30 minutes. And you're working toward that goal, first of all, in the first 5 minutes, you're going to want to quit. Because your body starts to scream at you, what now? What is this that you are doing? I'm going back to the gym in the morning. I'm saying it in church, so I have to be committed to it, Lord Jesus. I'm going to have to wake up at 5 and go to the gym in the morning. And I know what I'm going to get. I know what the process looks like. That first 5 minutes, I'm going to want to get off the elliptical and go home. And then you're like, okay, you make it through that. And then that last 5, before you have to quit, your body is going to start to tell you some things. Because as you work out, you push yourself even harder every time. So whatever goal you set, once you reach the goal, you set a different workout goal. I'm going to run 3 miles an hour. I'm going to walk 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5. And you get to that point where you have pushed yourself. And you just have to keep going. Because you know you're going to reap if you don't give up. You know you're close. You're going to get there if you just keep going. In the spirit, you know you're going to get there. Everything that God has told us are yes and amen. So why we act like we not gonna make it? We're going to make it. We're going to exceed. It's gonna be exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. We just can't give up. And we have to live by faith. If I don't say nothing else, you can't give up on God. Amen. You cannot give up on the vision that he has for you. It is for you. The work that he has designated for you is for you. And even if it don't make sense for what you think you got on the inside of you, you don't know. You didn't make you. You'll know all the stuff in you. Let him use you to his glory. That is happiness, peace, joy, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. Y'all want to live a happy life? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Just doing what God says. Stop fighting him. Stop fighting yourself. You're hurting yourself. You're not going to get there smoking them cigarettes. Amen. Not because smoking cigarettes is a sin, but because you can't present your body a living sacrifice if your lungs don't work. You can't shout unto God with the voice of triumph. As much as we want to lift our hands and run around this church, we can only do so many laps with all this fat. We got to get rid of it to bring him glory to do the work. Because we might have to run down the street to catch somebody to bless them. Then we get there and we don't have no breath to say. Just throwing money, but we're supposed to say what thus says the Lord. It takes stamina to do a Thanksgiving giveaway and not drag our butts in here the next day and act like we barely made it. That's why we took all these constraints off, these clothes requirements at church. Just show up. Maybe you need to wear your tennis shoes so you can make that lap. Maybe you got to do that slow lap before you do that fast lap. But everything that has breath should be praising the Lord. And we should be praising him with our whole being. And we know when we eat this stuff, we can't do it. I bet if Miss Haney was here this morning, she would have stood up and moved around as much as she could within her being. We need to be able to shout for her, amen, with her. Amen. Amen. Give God a praise offering for the word. If you're here.